Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. We are airing live again at the Youth Build Director, Build a Youth Foundation Director, Nadine Levy of Upbuild Design, and we wanted to tell all of our members, give you an update on about the Build a Youth Foundation. We are located, fortunately, in Decatur at 1112 New Street. Upbuild Design, as everyone knows, that Ms. Levy is one of 200 Black African American architectural firms in the United States, and we've been blessed with having both the board become convened for the Build a Youth Foundation, as well as obtaining a training for our youth in the Build a Youth Foundation. And I want everybody to know that Mario Coleman, which is our co-executive director and director of multimedia, has put together a DVD and a website for Build a Youth. It's buildayouthfoundation.ning.com, and it will be able to, you'll be able to go online and look at the kids that participated. And we want to thank the Brotherhood of Carpenters for sponsoring the event, the instructors, the staff. We want to thank Nadine and participating with what we would call a way for our youth to participate in BIM, which is Building Information Modeling. This is a 21st century / 22nd century opportunity for our youth to experience too much of the things that they don't get to experience within the green jobs for the kids. And we also want to thank Sherilia Bradley Coleman for coming aboard as the executive director for the Build a Youth Foundation. And I think that most of our team that has been built has allowed our youth an opportunity to build. We also want to thank especially United Methodist Children's Home, Ladina Reed and Ms. Crosby, for their participation and tremendous sacrifice that they made in allowing the kids to participate in the program, as well as the challenge of working with an organization. And there were some great areas, and I like the fact that that's how sustainability is going to occur in our communities, is when organizations like the United Methodist Children's Home bed down their fears and allow the kids to have substantial growth and experience and opportunities and getting careers inside the industry. So I wanted to offer that opportunity to other youth to go to the parents. Please have your kids go to the buildayouthfoundation.ning.com website and have them sign up and participate in all the activities that's going on. There's going to be chartered organizations that we're going to have in all 50 states, and that we will basically allow, it will allow your kids a cutting edge on technology and opportunities that typically our kids don't know that exists. We had an exploratory course for 1 week, and as you, if you all go to the website, please take your time and browse through the participants and the instructors and the different various speakers who came. We had a master electrician that was going to sponsor one of the youth in the apprenticeship. We also were successful in placing possibly one other individual in the apprenticeship in the concrete local. And then we have another interested party that's going to participate in the carpenters. And then our two young women who are going to work in the professional construction arena will be a part of our Youth Build grant coming up for the first quarter of 2010, and they will be participating on that level with the young ladies that are going to be recruited for the next 4 months by our team of project managers and project coordinators. So we ask each one of you all to try to get your kids involved in the professional levels of multimedia, applied science, technology, and construction technology. It's a very important thing that we let our youth know that construction is so broad-based that it has nothing to do with digging a hole. You know, it's a very good observation that when people say construction, they think it's grunt work. But I am in the office with three architects and an engineer. Actually, I was able to meet an African-American PE. That has been in business and has a variety, you know, young black man in business, principal of his company. And we need to let our young men know that these individuals exist out there. We have an opportunity for folks like that to mentor our young men so they can understand that it's okay to be an engineer, and that basically it doesn't take a whole lot of math. Math is just applicable only to what you're actually going into. So we want to encourage our youth to explore the website and look at the type of partners who are there on the website. I don't want everybody to think that we're going to give out scholarships every day or every month or whatever, but we are positioned to have scholarships for our youth to actually trade vocational union-affiliated programs. Especially with the carpenters, more so with the carpenters than anything else. We also want to thank Mark Brown, Larry Phillips is the Southeastern chair for the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who represents South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. We love the fact that in partnering with them, they've also allowed our women in the organization opportunities to bid on projects that typically do not hit the mainstream newspapers, because these are all privatized type of projects, and it's going to allow some of our women who have the capacity to bid projects. And then it's also going to allow women who may not have complete capacity to build a project opportunities to work with people like Jim Wilkerson. We was able to meet Mr. Jim Wilkerson for Wilkerson, J.M. Wilkerson, and folks like Structure Group, Vintage, Core Tower. Those are the organizations, those few companies that I just named are very, very open and dealing with small business utilization, especially for our membership parties. And so we want to just thank everyone and make sure everybody understands that this show actually is going to air every Wednesday at 5:30. We cut the show down because of the summer months to from an hour and a half to 45 minutes, and then want to try to encourage you all to go and get a couple of magazines that you may need to, that would help you. It's called Construction Dimensions. It's Lead for Contractors. And on the project, ladies and gentlemen, that we're experiencing, that the requirements to be on the project is to have LEED certification. This is absolutely real. It's happening. There's a qualification level. So please do not blame anyone if you decide not to invest into your company by becoming or bringing in a LEED individual or become LEED certified. Make sure that you
take on the trends that are happening and work toward those, it's not going to go away. One of the things we did, and I have to just reference back to the exploratory course, which was Firebase, is that we Ms. Levy offered a BIM technology, a BIM training for the kids, and basically on all the solicitations, ladies, that you will see on the federal level and some of it at Emory in different places are experiencing the fact that you must have a LEED certified individuals. And the most important thing is that the contractor's role in implementing the sustainable practices can be at first appearing intimidating, but it boils down to understanding the four main areas covered within most green building rating systems: construction, waste management, indoor air quality management, material selection and use, and reporting protocols. So understanding that the contractor's role in compliance with the U.S. Green Building Council represents an opportunity to bid on more projects as well as higher potential for bid acceptance. So this will allow you all to do an additional commercial building initiative such as Green Globes, and what you might experience is that your company will get more phone calls with a green initiative and being able to work with the contractors that are the owners actually that are mandating that the program be in place. Since most of the programs embrace the same general concept as the residential, energy efficiency, recycling, and air quality standards, a contractor with a general green knowledge can assemble and maintain documentation necessary for compliance. And those standards are well accepted and mandated by most municipalities, and they're not going to be diverted from that. The most important thing is that the first step for contractors who are looking for a competitive advantage is to understand what the rating systems are and expect, in terms of the verification compliance, that you understand the purpose of the various credits, which can lead to the development of a project plan which fits within a reasonable time frame and cost to the owner. So it's not about low bid anymore. It's about being able to offer a cost rendering to the owner, and especially in materials and building products that are rapidly renewable, which contain recycled content. And post-consumer and pre-consumers are in low VOC emitting will be accepted. Well, we also understand that skill set for the contractor can allow them to participate in an integrated design approach needed for green building facilities and even contribute to identifying a way to reach certification of a building. So during this point in time, the integrated design and the green contractor target for LEED credits is what they believe to be achievable from the beginning to help to define the project team's responsibilities. And that means, real simple, that the contractors that have been typically awarded projects based on one type of performance, this will give most of our listeners an advantage if you go ahead and invest your time and money and resources in exploring a program that will potentially help allow decision makers to contract with you on projects. There are some prerequisite credits that are valuable within the six established LEED categories, and those categories are sustainable site, water efficiency, energy and atmosphere, materials and resources, indoor environment quality, and innovation and design process. To make the minimum amount of points required to gain a LEED certification, silver, gold, or platinum, this will allow the owner to achieve those levels of credentials. So the contractor requirements are to maintain the spreadsheets in various categories, such as itemizing the cost of your materials, which is real simple. And I encourage you all that you need to invest into an estimating software outside of something that's $23 or $40. I always tell folks to look at NC Square And if you go online, you can, on our ncwcc.org, you will see a demonstration of what NC Square could bring to your company, and that the top 50 ENR firms that you want to contract with down the line, and even the smaller, medium-sized firms are adapting with NC Square. So we ask you all, as I start to read to you all more of the categories, such as itemizing the cost of material use of the specific building system, often subcontractors are responsible for providing the general contract with this information. So this will help, this is going to hinder you all if you do not apply this to your project. And as far as certain projects from point of the manufacturer job site, you need to record and calculate the regional material credits. And as a part of the compliance process, you have to involve contacting the manufacturers and their suppliers in order to maintain what we would call the raw materials which were harvested. It's almost as a manifestation of where the product actually came from. This has to happen both during and after the installation. So in other words, while you all are just say that you're doing drywall, you want to make sure that your waste is calculated to a point that you know exactly where everything is. And there is up to about 30 submittals, leaving much of the burden on the subcontractor. And the general contractor can hold up your payment because he's relying on you all for the record keeping and accurate data in order for the project team to eventually submit its report to the USBGC or any other third-party verifying organization that's a part of that project. They're trying to determine building sustainable performance. And if as a subcontractor you're not able or unable or incapable to do that, guess what? Your contract will be taken from you. And it's absolutely some documentation is real simple. You could take photographs, or others could retain labels from specific filters. You have to put in the work now in order to be a contractor. It's not just about the paper. Contractors just contracting people to go out and do work. You have a symbol of people who are believing that if we adapt this green, we can save our environment and our planet. And construction, actually, materials make up 30% of the waste in the whole world. So in the construction industry, we have not did our job. The other thing is that the documentation that is very important prior to bidding on a green project, there are several pre-construction activities that you all can do to go to and complete a better handle on the cost as well as to enhance the chances of getting a job. So the contractor can research other green building projects in the region relevant to the type of construction project that you're trying to bid, and then regionally wise, you can look at their patterns and their local regulations and get a better handle on what you are required to do, because most government and municipality regulatory are requiring leads now to the construction segment served. One of the examples is that the green seal paint label signifies the independent verification of a low, no VOC product. And there is a NSF chain of custody label means that are attached to the wood product. And what I'm doing is offering you an opportunity to know that this is an actual real process, and you can get the same information that I've gotten from Construction Dimensions, AWCI, from March last year's edition, and look at that and take a look at the things that I'm talking about. The other thing about the green is that while many of the green building rating system began as voluntarily, as they're growing, the number of government agencies are adopting to measure the green requirements and compliance. Most of the LEED building code standards 189 has been adopted by the local and state government entities. So this initiative is something that started in 2007. So this is not something that absolutely popped up and said, ooh, all of a sudden there is no one involved in this but you. So we want to let you all know that basically that this is something that's occurred. This is something that is not going away.
I want to welcome caller from 862. Welcome to the call. Hello? Caller.
Hello.
862.
Is that me?
Yes. Yeah, welcome to the call.
Oh, this is my first time calling.
Okay.
So I was calling to listen to what you had to say about jobs.
Okay. Topic of the day are the green jobs, green jobs for women and our contract.
Yeah, is it about the green project? I'm just learning about the green project myself.
Yeah, green projects are something that has started from the owner's perspective, and as an edge for are you a tradesperson?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are you a contractor?
I'm deaf. I'm actually calling through an interpreter. I'm using sign language, but I was calling to listen in, but I'm deaf.
Okay. I'm sorry. But let us understand that the green products and manufacturers are something that the government has identified for us to do on projects. And the objective for us as women is to get the cutting edge on those opportunities and dealing with the industry and the green jobs. Now, one of the things that the coalition has positioned itself with is with Tradeswomen Now and Tomorrow out of Washington, D.C. There is a particular aspect that we're going to be working with them and starting in October, identifying a way to get more women involved in green jobs. And the main thing is that our method is if you are the contractor and you're a woman, you're more prone to hiring other women. So we want to educate our contractors into letting the other prime contractors know that the women are trained and understand the special conditions involving the construction and green careers. One of the things that we currently know is that communications with the U.S. Green Building Council has specific requirements for even the folks who apply as laborers and as tradespeople on projects. Those individuals need to be trained to understand how we just spoke about labeling, about labeling the products, about targeting different materials on the project. There's green job can be somebody who just photographs the entire project and maintains the spreadsheet. So those are green jobs. To me, those are green jobs for anyone with any kind of ability. That there's going to be more documentation. There's going to be more professional careers in green jobs because of there is a complex level of recording and documenting this part of the process. And if we listen to some of the things that I've spoke on regarding how to label different things like the HVAC duct vents during the application process, there are going to be particles during the installation, and those things need to be labeled, as well as understanding that if you participate in some of the USGBC training as just a laborer or a carpenter or somewhat, you have an opportunity to be considered more so on a project. And this is why we call them green jobs, because they're more professional-oriented. Someone has to keep up with the paperwork. And this is on-site that has to be in place. So you'll see more supervised applications on projects where typically it's just blow and go. It's a more conformed way of working. The tradition that has been just go in, throw out, you know, cut a 2x4 in half and throw the other one on the ground. Well, that time is over with. And so you have, these are where we understand that that's what green jobs are, where you have somebody that understands that, you know, you need to pick up that 2x4 because guess what? We're going to use that and put this in a dumpster and we're going to label this and that. So these are some of the things that make sense to us as a coalition to help achieve employment on projects, because it's not, you know, typically we as women have been told that, you know, we're not strong enough to work on projects. But with the green jobs, it's going to be more jobs in the professional construction arena than it will be anyplace else because, as we know, you know, we as women are more organized. and so we'll have a better opportunity to provide more documentation, thorough documentation, and everything is wireless now, so you won't have a bunch of paper. So that's going to allow some of us to work in the job trailers on the site, and be able to be monitors of the project. So what I'm going to do for a moment, ladies, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to play a song by Destiny Muhammad from California.
And calling, and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. My face, I'm all you will ever need, all you'll ever
everyone. That was Destiny Muhammad from Harpist from the Hood. That is an original from her called Grace. I wanted to move into the last segment of the show talking about building a sustainable development program, and that is what the coalition has been doing. The most common definition from the United Nations World Commission on Environmental Development says sustainable development meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. That is what sustainability is. And together, there has been compromised inside the Construction Magazine for Business on the July 2007 issue is about green branches out. So this is where this information came from. I want everybody to know that I am not the smartest person in the world. I just happen to read, and I just want to pass this information on to you all in regarding the support levels and the skill development activities for women. And one of the things that we want to share with you before the show ends here in a few minutes is that we must build steps into sustainability. For many of the contractors, sustainable development means meeting the needs of the clients by conducting business in a socially, economic, and environmentally responsible manner. And this is some of the things, the practices that we left in the last 8 years, that everyone did anything they wanted to do with no kind of practicality, as my mother would say, no scruples in business. So I want to read that again. For sustainable development means meeting the needs of clients by conducting business in a socially, economic, and environmentally responsible manner to benefit the current and future generations. So doing so creates a different value of stakeholders. And this is why on our website it states that we are changing the face of business because we have a different value system with the few contractors that are from the Georgia area. We have adapted to the fact that the practices, it should be all the stakeholders, including the clients, the shareholders, the employees, the subcontractors, suppliers, and then society as a whole. So together, the definition of is highlighting the three core aspects of sustainable development. And those three are economic, which refers to the financial impact of the company's activities, such as purchasing local materials and services. This is something that was a part of our first show when Curleen Ashrow was one of our co-hosts at the very beginning last year in October, and about corporate social responsibility. Corporate social responsibility is exactly what this economic section refers to when it comes to activities that impact the company's judgment when purchasing local materials and services from within our community. Environmental, which includes the management of air emission, water consumption, wastewater discharge, and waste disposal. That is the environmental level in which, when we're on projects, we allow the hose to run through the day for no apparent reason down the road, for not to dry the road just because you don't want to turn it off. Just simple things that we've seen contractors do. I'm not going to say anything, but when you have a bunch of illegal aliens who are just framing up houses and their waste is 50% of the project, and just because the house was built in 7 days, everybody's happy. So that is one of the wastefulness that has been a part of our past. And the other thing is social. As we were talking about, the core aspects of sustainability is economic environment. The last thing is social, which includes anti-corruption measures, prevention of work-related injuries, and a policy to preclude child and compulsory labor. Labor with illegal 1099 people. You know what I'm talking about. So we want to make sure that in these implications of sustainable development for construction industries, that they are significant and the statistics are sobering. It is estimated that 25% of the construction materials are wasted and 20% of them are all in the landfill volume due to construction waste. Typical construction demolition debris includes concrete, rock, dirt, wood, sheeting, roofing, tree stumps, asphalt,
metal, tile, floor tile, carpet. Construction consumes an estimated, I thought it was 30%, but an estimated 40% of the extracted resource in most developing countries, and 30% to 40% of the generated energy of the world. So we have a lot to do with it. Our industry has a lot to do with what has failed and what has not worked. And it's been sobering to see that I call it the, this is my personal opinion, that it's called the cleansing. Because I remember coming here and everybody was a contractor. No one knew anything about the business itself. Everybody was an investor. It was just a howly doody time. Now that the walls have come crushing down because no sustainability practices have been applied through the years, everybody thought they were very well. Everybody made money. And as you can see, money has put us, especially this country, in a real, real bad position. And so even in our construction industry, we do not have a workforce that looks like us now. And I have no qualms about people from other countries working, but there should be some sanity when companies are hiring folks from companies are hiring people from other countries to come to a job site in our community. That's ridiculous with certain firms who are hiring illegal people to work at places like the Coretta Scott King Academy that have a high unemployment rate of our youth, and all you have are people that are driving into the community to work on the Coretta Scott King Academy. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, there's a time and a place that some things have to go and say there's no nonsense. And I really just have to say it because it's just been brought to me on several occasions. Everybody knows that we are in strict partnership as a union-oriented association with the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and IOTSE. So we're not actually speak the fact that there's contractors out here. I'm told not to speak about the names of the contractors, but if you go and look at the projects, then you'll see the name on the mannequin. So I would like everyone to know that the principle of just because I'm an African-American-owned firm and I use my blackness to get work and put a few people to work, those people that are getting these projects are not building sustainable, employable value system. We have some men who have been working construction for 50 years old, I'm saying, and have never accomplished a certification in anything and have worked for two of the main black contractors in the state of Georgia. And these folks are not even, they have no pension fund. They have no way of sustaining their families as they get older, other than their Social Security. People try to talk down the union situation, but any time a man can leave this earth and leave his wife, his kids, with more than just debt, then I think that says a lot. So that's just my personal opinion. I want to just kind of move forward about sustainability, development, which makes most businesses have a sense that they have a duty in our society to support the activities that will reduce the liability of the, let's say, the material disposal and enhance the image of the community. Where you see people who dump tires inside the apartment dumpsters because they're too cheap to go pay for the disposal fees, and they wonder why we have such high rates for garbage here in DeKalb County. I'm going to read these six steps, and then these six steps are going to end our show. Step one, drive sustainability development from the top down, which simply means that when implemented, sustainable practices often are not part of comprehensive or cohesive program. In order to ensure sufficient company commitment, we must develop and execute a program. Now, without that support, certain employees may believe in sustainable development, but it's not their concern. So without the employees participating, it may be difficult for the program to reach its full potential. So as business owners, such as leaders from our different organizations, you need to make it quite clear to your employees that they must participate in a sustainability practice in the company. Step two is to establish a dedicated work group
While a high-level support is critical for success, most groups have sustainability development programs. From becoming just another company initiative, these companies must create a policy and a concept for ideals so that those ideals are being made as a leveraging opportunity for those groups. So generally work groups that include people that are with various background, cultures, and technical expertise experience the most success when researching environmental, economic, and social opportunities. So diversity within the workplace is one of the things that helps increase sustainability. Number three is to write a sustainable development policy, which is an economic, environmental, and social aspect of sustainable development. It is broad, but it's necessary to decide what your company's culture and values are. And that is very, very important that we know exactly the dynamics of our culture as a business. The company should decide what it wishes and what it expects to accomplish in its program and its realistic goals. And then step four is to establish short and long-term action. And so once this policy is written and the visions for the exist in the program, the company should identify possible actions, items that will accomplish either short-term periods, and others may take on longer-term periods to focus on the progress. So there's no disillusionment of what each company is trying to do in a sustainable activity in construction. So in short, while the construction companies have a natural inclination to target activities at the construction site, well, this has to be made apparent in the field. The office personnel, everybody from the top down, need to use these practices in efficiency, like in turning off the lights in the office, recycle materials, the paper that goes inside the, it's not inside the waste basket, but it can be recycled. We need to look at the next is raise awareness. Communications cannot be stressed enough when sustainability involves everyone in the company. Everyone in the company must be communicated to that as a result of them not participating in the sustainability of the company's initiative, then you are a part of the problem. And so when you're part of the problem, you should be let go. And the last thing is to, step six is to measure and report. Many of the managers need to identify a way, as an example, to measure the environmental performance of the value of waste sent to the landfill. So one of the things that we mentioned in here is that many measuring reports comes from employees. And then in the spirit of this is going to allow each one of those employees to take that home with them and branch that back into their daily work lives. And this has to start at home, but as well as the beginning of the day inside your house. So we have about 1 minute left in the show, and I wanted to thank the caller from 862. Again, you guys can walk on. You can go to our website, ncwcc.org, and please go to the buildingyoufoundation.ning.com and take a look at the Building You Foundation and which way we're going. And we want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Scott and Son as well in sponsoring one of our participants, who is a second generation minority owned general contracting firm here in Atlanta, and you can check them out at Scott & Sons Holding. We want to thank all the participants inside the group that was there, and we want to also thank the United Methodist Church again. We want to also thank Ravonda Moody from DeKalb County and Ms. Gilbert from DeKalb County in helping get the word out to our program. So everyone have a good week, and God bless you.